Just have a really quick question for the kids before we get into the message today. Just a really quick question. What if your parents said to you, Bella, is your brother here today? What if your brother, your mum and dad said to you, you don't have to go to school next week at all because we're taking you to Disneyland for a week? What do you think? How would you respond? That's great. Would you give him a big hug and say, thank you, woohoo, so excited? So would I. You know, thank you, that was my very quick question. You're a legend. I might actually just give you a treat. There's something behind there, just another sticky eye. Jillian's going to give it to you. Thank you for getting up and showing us what worship looks like. To me, Bella just demonstrated exactly what worship looks like to me. I actually did that before the Lord this morning. My natural worship bent is to dance. I'm sure some of you might have heard that song, I Can Only Imagine. It's a beautiful song, and you can picture yourself on, you know, after you die and you stand before God, and the song says something like, you know, will I dance for you, Jesus, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? Worship is just such a profound, amazing gift God has given us, and it looks different in all of us, and it might look different at different times. You girls might sing for the Lord. I don't know. God didn't give me that gift. But worship is so diverse. It can look so many different in so many different ways. And in church, I don't know if we often really worship. We call them worship services because we sing, and then people think, well, you know, singing is worship, and it can be worship. It can also just be lip service to the Lord as well. We can miss the point. If our hearts aren't engaged, if our spirit isn't engaged, if our soul isn't engaged, it's not worship. It's just saying words. And so today, I really want us to lean in to what is worship and what it means to you. And I want you to go on this journey yourself, because God showed me this morning. He wants you to drink from his well. So this morning, I sat with the Lord, as I do, and I'm inviting you into my very personal, private quiet time with the Lord this morning. And I sat there, God, and I said, look, I've got all these words on paper. I've prepared, I've worked hard, but I've really got nothing to say to your people today because worship is too huge. And it is like me. I love the challenge stuff. I love to bite off more than I can chew. But I said, God, this is worship. It's too big for me. How can I speak to your people about this? How can I confine it to this little bit of space? And what do you want me to say? And as I was sitting there, he just said, you know, it's not about you, it's about me. And I go, yeah, I know, God, I know that. That's why I'm here. What do you want me to say to your people today? And I pictured Jesus sitting by the well, on the well, and I was like the Samaritan woman just there, and he said to me, give me a drink. And I said, I don't have a bucket. And I sat down at his feet and I said, you give me a drink of that life-giving water, that spring water that wells up from within, that the Holy Spirit, you refresh me, you give me the drink. And so God and I talk like this all the time, you know, through Jesus. And as I sat there, he refreshed me. And then I pictured myself as that woman who cried over Jesus' feet and then dried them with her hair. Because she received what she needed from the Lord, which was healing and forgiveness of sins. And as God provided for me that this morning, he reminded me he is Jehovah Jireh, the God provides. He's the God who provides all of our needs, and he's worthy of our worship. And what do you do when he provides your needs? You get on your knees and you worship and you say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And I pictured myself dancing before the Lord, dancing around the well. I was refreshed. And he reminded me, not only is he God who provides Jehovah Jireh, I still went back to him. I said, what am I going to tell your people this morning? And he just wanted to declare healing today. He wants you to come to him and draw from his well and receive refreshment and healing. He's Jehovah Rapha, he told me. I haven't really explored that word before, so I looked it up very briefly, and I will be engaging in it some more again. And it's part of our worship plan. With the Mission Action Plan, we want to have prayer after the service, but not just prayer for, you know, whatever. Prayer for healing, because God's heart for all of us is to receive healing from him. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be people who are made whole in him, who can worship him, who can declare his praise, who can be his people in here and out there. And so part of this Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. We're going to lean into that more. There's going to be a prayer meeting in this back room here, just going to discuss what our prayer ministry is going to look like, how we're going to lean into God and his Holy Spirit's leading in that on the 21st of this month after the service. So mark that in your diary if you want to be part of the prayer ministry team or pray for other people's healing. But today, I just want us to receive healing and refreshment from the Lord. And so God wants to tell you his Spirit is with us. His Spirit is here, and we can draw from his Holy Spirit, his well. And so as I sat with the Lord after this wonderful time of refreshment and dancing and worship, I had a cup full to give his people. And there was if I was back in this image, there was someone walking past, and I tried to offer a cup of water, refreshing water, and that person didn't want it. They just rushed on by. And I said, Jesus, they don't want the water I'm going to give them. And he said, that's all right. Tell them to get the water themselves. Tell them to get the water from his well. And that's what I'm telling you today. I want to encourage you to go deep with God. I want to encourage you to draw water from his well, to receive that spring of water, that Holy Spirit, so that you can worship God in spirit and truth as he calls us to. He's seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what we hear in his story in the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He says to her, you know, he's engaging with her, and she's, you know, avoiding a deeper subject. She didn't want to go too deep with God. And so she goes, change the subject. Like, you Jews say we've got to worship in Jerusalem, but we say we worship here on Mount Gerizim. You know, where is it? And Jesus, like, just gets to the point, you know, forget about where your ancestors worshipped or where they think. You need to worship the Father, not the fathers, the traditional fathers, the ancestors. You worship the Father, doesn't matter where, but in spirit and truth, because God is spirit. Just like God is love and God is light, God is spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and truth. You must have that intimate connection with him. You must relate to him in a compatible way. That's deep. She doesn't really grasp it at first. She does eventually. But we're going to start back with the psalm. Because in the Psalm 95, which is an enthronement psalm, which was a psalm that the Israelites sang, and it reminded them that God is God. God is king. He is sovereign. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is a shepherd. All these majestic words that God is, if you open up Psalm 95. Just go home and dwell on that all week. It's an amazing psalm. And this psalm was sung often to remind the Israelites after their exile in Babylon in 587 BC. They'd been, like, you know, in captivity, and they're doubting God and saying, well, where is God in all this, in all our woes and our troubles? How do we worship him? And this psalm, this enthronement psalm, reminds them that God is powerful no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what rubbish you've been through, no matter how you feel. God is worthy of worship. Because that's what worship is. It's assigning worth to someone greater than ourselves. And we all worship something. Money, car, house, family. I drive past this amazing little Mazda MX-5 every day. It's red. It's so pretty. You know, it's amazing just what our hearts are attracted to, what we do worship, what we put our worth on, what we see our value in. But God says, worship me. And when we think about it, compared to everything else, he's the only one worthy of our worship. and he deserves that. And in that psalm, we're encouraged to sing, and that's one way to express. We're encouraged to, well, I'm going to add dance, it's not in there, but he's in that psalm, worshipping God is bowing down. In biblical terms, worshipping God is mostly referring to getting down on your knees and bowing down, or laying down, face down, flat on the ground. That was worship. That is worship in a biblical sense. And what you're doing when you take that posture is you're humbling yourself before God. You're saying, you are the one worthy. And I am humbling myself before you because you are everything I need. You provide. You are the healer. You're the sustainer. You're the creator. I'm giving back the life I owe. Compared to you, I'm just totally dependent on you. So when you kneel before the Lord, your maker, when you lay down, face down, when you worship, you're saying, God, I'm assigning your worth to you that you deserve. And I'm taking proper posture before you, humbling myself, because you are all I want, you're all I need, you're all I have. An emptying of yourself, of receiving. When we are like that, we can receive from him. Like that woman who received healing and forgiveness of her sins and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. And in that room when she did that, all the tax collectors and all the, you know, well-to-do people around her were saying, if only Jesus knew who was touching her, him, he wouldn't let her touch. And he said, it's not the healthy that needs a doctor, it's the sick. But many of us are too ashamed to really humble ourselves that much before the Lord, especially in public. You know, in my previous church, we gave people opportunity to come before the Lord, to get on their knees, to bow down, to lay down. And one woman did. And she laid down on her face up the front for the whole church service. And you know what I thought in my mind? It's embarrassing. I wouldn't do that. I'd be too worried what other people think. Because in our culture, our society, we're taught to live and act a certain way. We're prestigious, you know, we're respectable. We don't want to act in a way that's inappropriate. But worship, when we're in tune with God, and we're worshipping him in the way that he calls us to in our heart, in our life, if you're worshipping him in connection with him and his Holy Spirit's leading you, I want this to be a space you can do that. If you want to get on your knees, get on your knees. If you want to lay down, lay down. If you want to raise your hands, if you want to dance around, do it. If that's what the Spirit is calling you to do. And it's not about you. We won't be doing it to draw attention to ourselves. Probably be more embarrassed than anything. But I just want us to be people who are faithful and responsive to the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in our lives. So if you, you know, picture yourself as that woman washing his feet, if you picture yourself as the woman at the well, if you picture yourself just worshipping God in the way that he wants you to, I'd love to be able to do that more here. A place of freedom, a place of release, but with order, as we heard in the first reading in Corinthians. You know, we can speak in tongues, or we can share a prophetic word, but if you speak in tongues, let there be an interpreter. If you speak a prophetic word, don't let it take over the whole service. Everything in order, with respect, because God is a God of order. He's a God of respect, but he's also spirit. And we must worship in spirit and truth. So worship in the spirit and worship in the truth. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we worship God in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus the Son, the truth, the word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. May we come to God through him and worship God in the way he's called us to. So let me pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you call us to be your people. You call us into relationship with you, to connect with you. to have relationship with you, to have intimacy with you, to worship you for who you are. Help us to truly see your worth. Help us truly come before you with humble and repentant hearts. Help us come to you for everything we need in total reverence and awe. And when we receive it, Lord, help us to worship. Help us to respond faithfully with praise and thanksgiving for all that you've given, for all that you've done, and for all that you are. For who you are, help us to worship you. Help us to recognize you and see you afresh for all your goodness. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you will just help us make a fresh commitment to worship you in spirit and truth. Help us be the worshippers you desire. Help us love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Jesus said this is the first and greatest commandment. Help us to worship in spirit and truth, obeying his commands, walking in his truth, coming to you through faith in him. Fill us afresh with your spirit today. We want to worship you.